Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and happy days are here again.
They are.
Yep.
Why?
The skies are bright and blue again.
You know, this is, there's positives and negatives.
Everything is good and true again.
Positives and negatives to everything. The negative.
Happy days are here again.
With Tom Bosley?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
For those of you living under a rock or drinking in Las Vegas, Vince Russo is fired.
Yes. Now, you have been in Vegas the last couple days.
Yes.
And I sent you a text telling you this, and I got a response at 4 in the morning. I said, we're going to have to finally talk some TNA because Vince Russo has been fired. And the text said something at 4 in the morning, something along the lines of, if Russo really is fired, then we'll have to talk a TNA for dur.
Yes. And I meant every word of that.
How was Vegas, by the way?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm exhausted. I got in about 12 hours ago. I watched Raw as soon as I got home because I've been like up until 4 a.m. like every day, so sleep schedule is all fucked. So come in at midnight. So I watched Raw yesterday at midnight. I read in the airport on the Observer site about officially announcing Russo, right?
But you didn't remember what I said.
Because I didn't remember what you said, no. So also read about Brandon Jacobs.
So
that's what I said. There's positives and negatives. Positive, of course. Vince Russo.
Nothing happened in Vegas. You don't have any stories to tell people.
Stays
like
in Vegas, buddy. Stays in Vegas.
All right.
I went looking one day for Charles Wright, but I couldn't find him.
Beautiful. I actually asked street club he was at.
I asked a few people
Godfather.
If they knew where the Godfather was. You know, pimping ain't easy, and there's a lot of white old people that just stared at me. So that was fun.
Yeah. But you get that in Calgary too.
I do.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about it. Don't get me wrong. It's very. There's a lot to talk about in the WWE, but I don't think we can ignore the fact that TNA for once has trumped them,
which is where I want to get the negative out of the way first. Because I like the negative, and then we'll taper it off with some positive. The negative out of the way: Vince Russo being gone, Dave Lagana now in the creative team with TNA, who apparently Eric Bischoff. I didn't even think of this until I think Bischoff did a tweet indicating that he worked with him in WWE, which would have been true. So, because it was on Twitter. But this has now doubled our workload.
Oh.
Because TNA, once again, is now allowed to exist.
True.
I said as long as Vince Russo was still there and Dixie Carter wanted to keep Vince Russo there, we weren't really going to go there.
Yeah.
Now, I feel that we may go there.
We're going to have to. Well, I mean, while you were gone, I've been editing together a best of show that we'll be putting up probably be two parts in about 5 hours because we had a lot of great moments.
Well, most just egotistical.
Well, yeah, okay, I had a lot of great moments and you were there. But nevertheless, one year ago at this time, even though we were leading into Mania season, it was probably 60% WWE and 40% TNA. We were talking a lot of TNA. And kind of since we took a little hiatus and we've come back here, we've talked. Well, I think you might have. What have we talked about TNA? I think you had an opinion on Dixie Carter. Has that changed, by the way, now that Vince Russo's been fired? What do you think of Dixie now?
You know, part of me thinks, and I was sitting there thinking back when I read this, you know, when I was finally told about this yesterday. That
well, you were told about it before. Yeah. You just don't remember.
Oh, right. No, but that when Pritchard come in, I mean, again, and this is not that the TNA is this massive conglomerate or corporation, but that is sort of the corporate way of doing things, is that someone comes in, like Pritchard did in November, didn't he? October?
Something like that, yeah.
October. I think it was just before Bound for Glory, was it
not? Yeah,
something
so like
it
that.
It was October, and here we are, say, 5-6 months later, that, or 4 months later, I guess, that Russo is being gone, and that's generally how these things go when, you know, Pritchard there to replace him. They don't usually out with one, in with another. When they want to save face, they gradually kind of phase them out to the point where you don't. It's been long enough that you don't put the two together.
TNA and Russo are both saying this is no hard feelings, no ill will. That it's a you know, that they've come to terms with him moving on, and he's not. I think we all assumed that there was a chance that someday he could go to another position in the company, but I didn't think we'd ever see him no longer with TNA completely, which is apparently what's happened.
Yeah, that he's completely gone. Apparently his son worked for them too. I don't know if he still does or what the situation with his, with that, but yeah, apparently his son works.
Sonny Roo. By the way, we are going to announce right now, we have two big interviews coming up for this show.
Right. We should announce that.
We should announce that right now. Would you care to announce the first one?
Well, what's his name? Because I forget.
Pierre Paul?
Yeah. Right? Well, that's two of his four names.
Yeah. Well, whatever. The defensive end off the New York Giants. Let's call him Jean-Pierre Lafitte Paul.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte Paul, yes. I believe he's going to the Buccaneers next to be a Pirate. But, yes, we have announced that we can announce that later on in the show we are going to have an interview with him. I've been looking very forward to this and seeing his story. You know, as they were talking about it during the Super Bowl, and that he was what? Oh, sorry, I'm just getting something through the headset here. That Jean-Pierre Paul Lafitte. Apparently, we weren't able to come to terms with
him. We already announced it.
That was stupid of us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You sure he's still not in the company?
Almost like we're completely incompetent.
Huh.
But the other big interview at the end of this show, we will be talking, the first, since it's released, the first exclusive interview with Vinny Roo.
Well, he's a friend of the show, and, you know, when we heard that
on
he
episode
was...
two?
When we heard that he was released and that he, you know, was probably just sitting around, he thought maybe he had something to get off his chest, and... I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what we're going to be able to get out of him. It seemed pretty nice. He's a man of God. So,
well, I am looking forward to the return of Ring of Glory now. That's...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the big news coming out of this. Ring of Glory Show 2 will be running soon.
I was hoping for Glory Ka-King.
Anyway, let's move on to actually talk about this. Vince Russo... who we hated.
Well, hey, wait, hold on. We still hate him.
Good point. Vince Russo, who we will always hate, has been officially relieved as head writer. Dave Lagana appears to be the man who is taking over the position. Dave Lagana was a writer with WWE. Dave Lagana, you would have heard me talking about his show, Formerly Creative, his podcast, quite a bit, actually, in the last year, because I really, really enjoyed that.
You know who was on that show
there
by
for a little while?
John Permarini.
Really? Yes.
But Lagana, head writer of SmackDown, he took over for, did he go over to ECW with Heyman? When that first launched Sci-Fi there?
I think so.
And then took that over. I mean, he used to go to the ECW arena to watch the original ECW.
Yeah, and didn't he work, if I remember correctly, didn't he work also, didn't he run his own promotion for a little while?
No, you're thinking of Kurt Bauer.
Kurt Bauer, yeah, okay.
But Dave Lagana also then to Ring of Honor, you know, with the video, doing some video packaging and things with that.
That's right, yeah.
And then most recently over with that Ring Ka-King promotion. It has that, I guess TNA owns it or has
Yeah, it's a promotion running pretty much it's running out of India.
But does TNA own that or they're just really affiliated with, I don't know.
I think they own it,
as my understanding. Okay.
But anyways, yeah, so he's been working on that now. He's replaced, what's his name, something Conway, what's the first?
Oh, is Matt Conway.
Matt Conway, who was part of the writing team.
So he's gone too?
No, he's still there.
Okay.
So Matt Conway, who was part of the writing team with Russo, was brought in a couple years ago and generally considered be...
Not Rob Conway, right?
No.
Just look at me.
No, because... It could be Rob Conway, and we wouldn't have heard.
The whole damn world keeps on.
But Matt Conway is still there.
Look at
me. Apparently people say that he's pretty talented guy. So he's still a writer there. So you have Lugano and him. And then you kind of have an internal structure where we talk about Pritchard and you talk about Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, kind of a little bit unknown who's really in charge in the company. Both, I guess it's a little bit uncomfortable for some of the people working there because it's like, okay, television appears to be heavily influenced by Bischoff, but technically, according to their positions,
mm-hmm.
Pritchard would be in charge. Brother Love would be in charge.
Well, the overseer. But, I mean, you also, there's a lot, I think every, all those four now, and previously the, with Russo and now with Lagana, is that what you've got, it's all four of their hands are going to be in it, I would presume, right? So, but I would think that Pritchard and Bischoff would be more the bigger idea kind of do. And then basically I think what's going to happen now is that Lagana and Conway, whereas it was Russo, are actually going to, you know, write out the television.
Yeah.
You know, like the scripting, the timing, the whole, that
exactly.
sort of thing. And so what you're going to see now...
The big picture ideas should be the general direction and storyline of the company and the, creatively should be set by Bischoff and Pritchard, it appears.
Right.
And then they'll fine-tune it, bring it to him, bring it to those guys, and they'll go yes or no.
Essentially, it's now going to be Lagana's job to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where you're going to see the improvement.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, look, the fact that Vince Russo is no longer in the wrestling world and hopefully will never be in the wrestling world in any way, shape, or form ever again is good for the wrestling industry.
Now, I wonder, did he get released so he could be the one to induct the Horsemen?
could be. Who's going to induct Ron Simmons?
I think it's Bradshaw.
Bradshaw?
I think Bradshaw.
Because, I mean, Teddy Long could do it.
There is
Teddy Long. Mark Henry could do it.
Mm-hmm. The Rock could do it.
Yeah, The Rock could do it. Hacksaw Butch Reed could do it.
Is Bobby Bowden still alive? Is he?
His son or whatever it is. Bowden is alive.
Okay. Well, could do it as the coach, right? The football coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In Florida, where they are. Not that he played for Miami, but, you know,
yeah, I know
that before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly, I think Bradshaw would be the best, like the funniest. I think he's probably been the closest with the APA accolades over the years, longest time.
I think him or Long are probably the two guys I would look
Clearly,
at.
Clearly, The Rock is the biggest star.
Yeah.
Right? But The Rock also, if they are going to go ahead with Yokozuna, did they do any Hall of Fame inducting while I was...
No.
No, okay.
No.
Or announcements or anything. Because even Ron Simmons, it didn't air on TV, did it?
No, it didn't.
No,
it was a website thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's back to this. So this is the improvement should be that Lagana should be able to tighten up a lot of the ridiculousness. I mean, the basic idea of who to push, who's going to be the champion, these type of things... That shouldn't change. That should still be Bischoff and Pritchard, kind of what we've seen in the last few months. But what should happen is the things like the reverse battle royals and the giving away rematches on TV and title shots changing hands quickly. All this type of bullshit is where I'm hoping Lagana can clean up TNA or Impact Wrestling. I guess we keep on calling them TNA. I guess that Impact Wrestling never really took off.
No, it didn't. It was just again, that was just taking a red room and painting it blue, right? That's all that was. But, no, I think that with TNA, if the other part, though, that that Lagana will now do that would be creating characters, right? Would be putting gimmicks on guys or you know, mid-card pushing of guys and those sorts of storylines. I think where you're going to see the improvement, though, is... as Gorilla Monsoon used to say, that continuity, so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Russo never had. It would, you know, one week it was this, the next week is that. That's what WWE is falling into a lot now as well. We'll get that out with the Shawn Michaels thing. But it does, I think Lagana thinks logically, and so things will go from, you know, I said, the A to B, or if something has to go sideways, he'll explain it. Whereas Russo would just... It'd go sideways.
It'd just go sideways.
I mean, clearly he'd given up for quite a while, right?
I do know also Lagana, though, is not as heavy on... Russo was much the same thing where he would script word for word the promos for the guys. Lagana is more of a bullet bullet point type guy.
Right.
He believes more in that. So that should be a good thing. That should give some of their guys a chance. I do hope that he and Pritchard and everybody now is going to look at their talent roster, because the depth of their talent roster compared to like 3 years ago is really not very good. And I'm not just talking about the X division. On top to bottom, I don't feel like there's any up-and-coming guys like I did at one point. I think that they've been pretty much, I don't know, guys are just slowly a guy here, then a guy there, then a guy. And pretty soon the roster just doesn't feel like it's very deep or very talented.
Well, it's not even that to me, is that they've got, again, guys simmering. It goes back, I mean, this is what happens, though, and we were calling it at the time. And it just, this is the scorched earth of the main event mafia.
Yeah.
Right? Is that was when you had a faction of the most established guys that they had on the roster going up against whatever they called them, the I don't want to say the new breed, but the, whatever they were, the front line, right? Across the line, the front line, whatever, the young guys, and the AJs and all, and the Joes and all those guys, and they never went over. They never got over, and so now here we are with, we've got some talent in Bobby Roode and James Storm, but they've never kind of got over to that, other than with Angle, to that next level.
Well, I mean, kind of, and you know what, same thing. I mean, you look at James Storm, how he's been booked since he lost the belt has kind of hurt him, right? I mean, this type of thing. Like, I just think Lugano's kind of a better idea how to build the characters. I'm not going to say to you, I think that Dave Lugano is the very best guy to take over creative in TNA. I just say that your asshole would have been an improvement over Vince Russo.
It's
not difficult to improve, I think, on that guy. But, I mean, I'm not going to say Dave Lugano. I mean, once again, you got Bruce Pritchard there, so he's got his WWE ways. You got, Hogan, I guess, still hanging around, Bischoff, right? They're kind of WWE,
yeah.
WCW ways. Lugano, like you said, head writer of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not SmackDown when it was at its very, very top, right? So you kind of, again, you have
a lot of, I mean, you've got a lot of talent there. You've got a lot of,
But my point is that I don't think that what we're seeing is any indication that the people they put in their structure now are not going to still cause them to be WWE light.
Well, that may very well be true, but the reason that they were WWE light in a lot of ways is because they were using old WWE guys too, right?
That's
part of it. With the main event mafia.
It's also the style of television. Everything they do is so. Whereas a fresh vision, an idea of how to present wrestling in a new way, is what they need to do to establish themselves. And I'm not sure that we're going to see that still with Lugano and Pritchard.
As much as history tries to, you know, as he tried to do it with Crash TV, tried to brand Crash, we are going to do Crash TV, right? But,
well, he'll talk about that, I'm sure, when he's on.
He probably will, but, I mean, I don't think it's any more, I mean, Bischoff, I don't watch an episode of Nitro, you know, when the NWO was first taken off. Mm-hmm. And they plugged so many guys on that show that it was just like match. I mean, sometimes they would have longer matches, but, you know, for the most part, you'd get a good cruiserweight match, and then you'd have, like, you know, friggin' Bryan Adams against, Chris Adams, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, NWO B team against, you know, Chris Adams, like, great for 4 minutes, right? Wrath against Glacier or something. Big deal. But you'd always kind of have that. I mean, there's a reason that I know who Lightning Jerry Flynn is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good.
And it's because he didn't do business with Goldberg when he was
there. That's right. See? But no, I mean, but those things predate Russo.
Yeah.
And they predate Russo with Eric Bischoff, who's still around.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of, but I do think that Lugano is smart enough to know this is what we have to do, is differentiate ourselves. How much influence he will have out the gate, that's to be determined, right?
That's to be determined. Like I say, I think it will be an improvement. I think I just think a lot of the silliness and the continuity, I think a lot of the silly concepts that they do as far as things on a pole and, you know, all this type of bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
already
said.
Improved. I mean, I'll lay it. It's already improved because Pritchard's being there. He has improved it. But still, that Russo kind of influence is always there. I think that will improve, and I think that I do think that, the continuity will improve. But as far as, like I say, a fresh vision, I don't know if that'll come from LaDonna. I mean, like I say, I mean, he's not my top choice, but, hell, he's a hell of an improvement.
He was actually probably my top choice of
well, because they're, I mean,
realistic,
well, okay, it's realistic. There's a realistic. I mean, there's unrealistic, you know, your Heyman, your Sapolsky, your Ross, your whatever. These are your unrealistic choices. Then there's your realistic choices. Me, I would be in the unrealistic choices, but I would have a better vision. I could probably do it better. It's true. But anyways, you know, then you have your realistic choices, and Logano really.
On this show, you are my asshole. So, but I think that
our best of will have our appearance by Dennis Leary, the original asshole.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And fuck you. I like him. But I think that. I wait and see mode. I don't know. As I said, been in Las Vegas. I read some of the TNA spoilers, and you know, well,
wasn't that where you met a guy named Jeff?
I did. I did. Yeah. Down in,
you should tell that story
in Las Vegas. I was just playing. He was great. He's this guy, black guy from Miami, who knew all about hockey and thought it was great. We were from Canada, and he knew all about hockey, and he kept, you know, thinking he kept telling me. I think he told me about six times, you know, bitch, you never thought you'd meet a black man that liked hockey. I'm like, still, I didn't. No, still now, no. Six times. No, I didn't. I didn't ever think.
You were there with a guy called Jeff.
With Jeff. So we called him Black Jeff.
And he had no problem with that?
And he didn't. He's like, you can call me Black Jeff. And he doesn't know... I asked him about other black people that he might know that he doesn't. Hockey player here in Calgary, Jerome McGinley, he didn't know him.
He knew of him.
He knew of him. Yes.
He didn't personally know him.
And he was from Miami, so I thought
he lived in Calgary, no, because literally I think we have 20 black people in this city.
He didn't know The Rock. I thought that was a shoe-in because he's from Miami.
Well, yeah.
So I was like, oh, so you know, how is The Rock, is what I asked. And he goes, the who? I said, The Rock. Oh, yeah, The Rock. I don't know The Rock. I said, really? Huh. So.
Vegas, folks. Oh. We're just getting in a little trouble here, but that's all right. Let's move on to the WWE, unless you have anything else to say about TNA.
About TNA, I do.
You do? Well, do you have anything to say about Dixie Carter? You're no longer going to call her that word that you would constantly call her?
Not yet.
Okay.
Brandon Jacobs.
Oh, yes.
The running back of the Super Bowl champion, the backup running back.
It's a 60-40 split.
Ahmed Johnson Bradshaw is the is their number one guy, right? Yeah. He's the guy that did the sit down gimmick on the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but like I said, it's a 60-40 split. I mean, they both play. So
I mean, he plays. It just but anyway, they went for that whatever his name is, Jean-Luc Pierre
running
Paul
back
or
by
whatever.
Committee.
Right? Yeah.
Jean-Luc Pierre Luc Pierre Levesque Paul.
Paul, who has a blind dad, who went to the Super Bowl, wasting a ticket, and. And turned him down, or they couldn't come to terms or whatever after it was announced. Loves it. And then so Brandon Jacobs comes in, and I'd heard something about him doing something with Kurt Angle, but I guess it looks like it's going to be Bubba Ray Dudley there, Bully Ray.
The plan was for Paul Levesque, Paul Levesque, Paul Byron, Paul London.
Let's just call him Pauly Pauly.
Let's go with Pauly Pauly?
Yeah.
All right, Pauly Pauly London. I think the plan was, for something with Angle. But, again, it is funny that they did change it to – see, I got the feeling that this was – what they're doing is TNA's announcing that February here, this February, is the biggest month of TV they've ever had.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Yeah, that is their gimmick. Oh. They're trying to have something special. They had the shows from London, and they had Hogan returning, and then they have this – Pierre LaFalle Pauly Pauly returning.
Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs. They're trying to do something big every single show because this is the biggest month of television in their company.
This is
what they're advertising.
Sweeps month, right?
Yeah, sweeps month. So anyway, last show did a 1.1. So anyway, they're advertising this is. So the idea was, I think, for them to have something with this guy and an angle. I don't think that it was going to go anywhere. It looks like, I mean, certainly Brandon Jacobs had a pull apart with Bully Ray. I think he put him through a table
later.
And it looked like he's going to have a match. Now, my understanding was Brandon Jacobs was planning to become a professional boxer after he retired as a football player, was the rumor I had heard.
Okay.
So maybe, I mean,
he probably didn't get enough concussions.
He's like 6'4", 270 pounds. He's an ideal specimen for professional wrestling. He's 29 years old. He certainly could become one. He probably has two more years left as a running back in the NFL.
He's a what? Sorry?
A running... What's that?
He's ideal? What?
He's an ideal specimen.
Oh, okay. I just wanted you to sound gay again.
Again?
Well, yeah, you'd already said it once.
Oh,
or
okay.
Still, either way.
Yeah. Your mom's become familiar with my ideal specimen.
Yes, yes. It's not her ideal.
So anyways, yeah. So, I mean, he could probably in a couple of years actually become a professional wrestler in WWE. But maybe he'll get some practice here in TNA. I don't think that there's any money between Brandon Jacobs putting Bubba Ray or Bully Ray or whatever
through the
table. And
well, the real money is Brandon Jacobs against Garrett Bischoff, but we got to build that.
Yeah.
Right? No, but I think they got on SportsCenter, I guess.
Just another chance of somebody who is not a professional wrestler to beat up a professional wrestler. So we know when we're watching these guys are not the tough guys.
Oh, I don't really think we care. I don't really. I've never really cared.
No,
about
it
that.
Doesn't. And like you say, it doesn't matter because I mean, it's not like Roddy Piper who wouldn't put over Mr. T because he's like, why the hell I'm protecting my business?
Yeah.
You know, that's being
that's an old school
on.
Thing,
that's
right?
School.
Yeah. That's.
And don't get me wrong. I think it's the right move. I think maybe one in 100 celebrities should win a match. I think the wrestler should always win.
Well, I think
but,
so. It's already
it's
been
just,
killed
it's
dead
been
enough,
killed,
right?
Well,
so
yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess you probably do a tag match. Right?
Yeah.
Bubba and someone against someone.
And again,
and Jacobs,
does his contract
right?
allow him to do these type of things? I mean, that's kind of surprising to me. I mean, I know they had difficulty with Adam Pac-Man Jones and other players. There's been a lot of guys who, I mean, Shaquille O'Neal couldn't wrestle before when he was still a professional basketball player because there was contract clauses and that type of things.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this is being put in because they're worried about these guys getting hurt, though I can't think of one that ever has been.
What? Hurt? And a celebrity actually hurt?
Yeah.
I can't either, honestly.
Yeah.
But
you know, I mean...
Maybe a raw guest host or something. Got
I mean, this is not going to mean anything. With Shaq, though, it does look like... and we'll get to it, but it does... I'm very confident the Shaq thing is going to happen for this year's Mania now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, that will be big. But Brandon Jacobs means... It's TNA. It doesn't mean anything.
No, I mean
John Cena could fight The Rock in TNA on free TV, and it would be a 1.3.
I think that you'd get something more out of that if you're hyping it. I mean,
but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but
if they just put them on, it would be more. But if they promoted it, they'd manage to get it to a 1.3.
That's true. They would fuck up the promotion. No,
at least historically, up until
now. I think the only real big one that historically, if they've promoted things, they haven't
just
gone
another guy.
Mental, right? They have. Well, eventually, it would turn it because they would do three matches in a row on free TV, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is that TNA has done the celebrity thing. Too much for it to mean anything.
I don't think so, because when you say mean anything, like, nobody knew about, like, J-Wow or Ronnie or any of the Jersey Shore people that come in. The only person that anybody knows did any wrestling from Jersey Shore is Snooki, because she did WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, like, Pac-Man Jones got some promotion, but...
very little. Not
guys,
as
I mean,
Texas.
They had fucking, I think it was like Carl
Remember
Gunnarsson
who was
or something.
Tag team partner, world tag team champion partner with him?
Yes, yes, Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy. And then they brought in, did he still have Consequences Creed in a developmental deal? I thought he signed a developmental, but it's been like forever.
With WWE, I believe he did.
Yeah it's, but that was a long time ago. Because that, I mean, you could do that again, right? Do Truth or Consequences as a team.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've done it too much, because really the only people that know they've done it too much are like, you know, 10,000 people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they got on SportsCenter, great.
Okay, this last Raw, this week's Raw did 3.0, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that, I think it was 4.47 million.
Okay.
Of those 4.47 million, how many do you think knows TNA exists and how many do you think follows it?
Oh, I think probably probably 1.5 million of those people know it exists.
That you think that's all? See, I would think it would be closer to 3 million.
And
I think it's about 2/3.
Yeah,
know it exists.
Okay, then, but 500,000 of them watch
it, if that.
Right? Well, I mean, look at the when they did the head-to-head thing,
yeah,
right? And how much of that?
They're falling to like 0.7s, 0.6s. Yeah,
exactly, and that's like a million viewers,
yeah,
right there, right? Or 700,000 viewers. So to me, that they went to watch WWE instead,
yeah,
right? So that's kind of the range I was giving it, you know, 500. Now, because the audience has fallen so much in the last year,
I think almost everybody's aware,
right,
of TNA, the fact TNA exists. Because the TNA has done, in its highest quarter hour, was like a 2.2, which says to me that people are aware the product exists, they just don't think it's good enough to watch. And that was, of course, when Hogan and stuff were
there. Yeah, okay, maybe.
Right?
So, I mean, I guess I knew that WCW existed back in, like, the early 90s, right? So,
yeah,
same idea. So, okay.
Right.
Yeah, but let's go over to the World Wrestling Entertainment Company.
We're on to the main event.
Yes.
Raw. This last Raw has been shit on by almost everybody, and I kind of enjoyed it.
You kind of enjoy getting shit on too, but
well, hey, by your mom.
Fetish.
What?
Hmm?
Huh?
Whoa.
That wasn't out loud, was it?
I don't think so.
Anyway, what did you think of Raw?
As I said, yeah, I watched Raw when I got home at midnight from a long day yesterday, and I was pretty tired, but I just couldn't really sleep, so I just kind of laid there in bed and watched Raw. To me, it was a mixed bag. I didn't hate it. I didn't absolutely, you know, hate the show or anything. The six-person deal, I don't know, was kind of, I didn't really enjoy that. Only because Kofi, I liked being serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the Republican debate you didn't enjoy?
Yeah, I did enjoy Truth. Truth makes me laugh.
See, the same thing. I got a kick out of Truth, so I liked what they were doing.
Yeah.
Though I think it's funny that he talked for about 7 minutes, and then they gave Miz 45 seconds.
No, this is all. Yeah, but I mean that's all.
But again, that's funny. I enjoyed this debate thing. It made me laugh. Right from the very opening, right? They got to the front and King announces that he goes, the first ever Elimination Chamber debate, introducing, or whatever, and they pull out and they stand out, and there's CM Punk, and he claps his hands and he throws his hands up in the air and he's like, I don't know what the fuck we're doing! And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to enjoy this.
Because
he had this like, this is
I know,
the
I hate
this. Fucking idea
and,
ever.
And Punk I thought was stupid. I didn't
well,
get
but yeah, but he
Punk
knew it was stupid, so
I know
he was just fucking with him.
Well, that's fine, but it didn't mean that
hey,
it was
on
good.
Punk referencing John Laurinaitis blowing somebody and said, you're just begging, and, you know,
yeah.
He pushed the PG pretty far, bestiality.
There was nothing, yeah, bestiality.
Punk
new
was fucking with him because it was stupid, so
yeah,
I like that. I was laughing at him before he even started.
Punk didn't do anything new to me. Ziggler didn't say anything new. Miz
What's the difference
didn't say
between
anything
Ziggler's
new
personality and Miz's personality?
Well, that's what I was about to say. Neither one of them did anything new.
Miz really needs to stop referencing the fact that he was a main event last year. Fucking just like Jericho needs
I
to stop
know
referencing being the first ever world.
To, well, the first guy to beat Rock and
yeah,
Austin the same night.
Miz
yeah
stop needs need, Miz needs
yeah
something new.
Jericho
I don't know
didn't
the difference between
Jericho
Miz
didn't
and
really
Ziggler
or Jericho.
Jericho, I could see at least
Jericho
a little
used
different
big words. That's it.
Yeah, but he's the same old character. He's boring the shit out of me.
Well, that's, yeah, so that's
he
what I mean. He's
done that.
So they didn't say anything new. We got the little Jimmy stuff, which is funny to me, and Kofi being serious. Okay, that was good. And Kofi doesn't get a lot of time to talk anyway, so I couldn't say that.
The other highlight was Miz saying something about Ziggler scoring with an old woman or something like that, and Vicky walking over to him off camera, and she going, what, you don't want a piece of this?
Mm.
I laughed my ass off.
I didn't. I don't think I saw that.
You didn't catch that?
No, I was kind of. Anyway, it was. It went on whatever it was. The 20-minute opening Raw segment and you know what? Go home show everybody.
Go. Made me laugh. So whatever.
Go home show.
It entertained me.
Yes, it made you laugh. But anyway, little Jimmy made me laugh, and that was, you know, referencing the Dancing with the Stars thing. That did make me laugh. You know, but other than that, it's like, all right, whatever. But that was
the thing is, you have to keep in mind, Punk's character, and this is based on his real life, I think, attitude in many ways. He's too cool for school, as the expression says, right? I mean, so
he's
know
too cool for school. The expression says, in Jason Pierre Paul is his name.
Levesque.
Sorry. Tuku for School in 2012? Yeah? Not 1982?
I'm probably more like 1982. But I can't come up with a better expression to describe it, can you?
Right. Well, no, radical, man.
All right. There you go. Wicked.
Wicked. Way cool. Totally. Jesus Christ. Sorry, can I go back to TNA really quickly because I just thought of something?
Yeah. We can do whatever we want.
We should have mentioned.
We're doing our own show.
I do kind of feel bad because we should have mentioned about Jesse Sorensen.
I suppose. Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about it, to be honest with you.
Well, I haven't really seen. I haven't seen the spot.
I haven't seen the spot.
I just wanted to wish him
my pay-per-view.
Yeah, so I know. But apparently he's still not being able to move his legs.
What did happen was Zema Ion was wrestling a match against Jesse Sorensen for the number one contendership for the X Division title.
Right.
And it was the opening match of the pay-per-view. About 3 minutes in, there was a moonsault from Ion to the outside to Sorensen, and he hit Sorensen in the top of the head, cracked his head, knocked him out. They took him out on a stretcher. Since then, it turns out that he's had, a cracked vertebrae, and mm-hmm. he's not moving his legs, is what the last thing I heard.
Still hasn't moved his legs yet,
yeah.
So we hope
so,
that...
It's a dangerous business, and it's unfortunately, the risk is always going to be there, especially with that style. And, other than best wishes and warm thoughts, I have nothing else to say. Really.
I've gone the extra mile for Jesse Sorensen, and I've already this morning gone and put in his application for food stamps. So I do what I can.
Well, he can qualify for that while still being employed by them. And, it's a shame, but, I mean, other than that, I don't really have a lot to say.
Dunderhead?
So
but,
anything else you want to say about that, though?
No, I just wanted to make that food stamp joke.
Yeah. Well, thank God, because it was worth going back and ruining our talk about WWE for your fucking food stamp joke that only made me laugh later.
I'm a great person.
You're a douche. All right. Chamber build.
I was called a dildo in Las Vegas. Because I was driving, I was going the wrong, not the wrong way on the road, but I was in the wrong lane, so I had to turn, and I was kind of blocking traffic a little bit, and someone smacked their hand on my rental car.
You actually rented a car there?
Yeah.
I never rent a car when I go to Vegas.
I know, it was with five other people, and the two of the girls wanted to be able to go to the outlet mall or whatever, blah, blah. So we were in the car, and we were going to one of the Stratosphere or whatever at the other end of the strip. Anyway,
yeah.
But... So he banged on the car and he said, "You're blocking traffic, dildo."
Because you only have a bus that runs.
Which is good. It's open, and all I was trying to do was pull out. So,
I'm sure you've heard that here.
Yeah. Your mom. Let's look at
you're blocking traffic, dildo, from my mom.
Yeah.
In the bedroom.
I
got money to make here. Get out of there.
I had to make way for Black Jeff.
Fucking right. All right. So other than that, the rest of the show, the build for the Elimination Chamber was, this is a new concept. They had all the guys wrestling.
Look, the same old matches.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So go-home show for Chamber. Let's talk about Raw Chamber. What out of 10 is your anticipation for this?
Oh, for the Chamber? 6.
Okay, for the Raw Chamber.
For the pay-per-view in general.
Oh, for the pay-per-view in general.
For the pay-per-view in general, I'm at a 6.
Okay, well, let's give me the Raw Chamber. What kind of are you? What do you think is going to happen there? What do you think of the build and kind of where?
I'm at a 5 on the Raw Chamber.
Yeah.
And the reason being is really twofold, is and they're kind of tied in together, is that realistically it's got to be either Punk or Jericho that wins this, right?
Yeah.
I would like to think...
Should be Jericho, because he's the last entrant coming out. I think Punk will be one of the first two, and then...
I say Punk, but I just think... And this goes back to even what he had said, not that he has any control over this, but, the hot potato.
Yeah.
I just want a long reign.
Yeah,
right?
That would be great.
And they talk about when the money's in the chase. No, it's not really. And especially not for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of Punk and then beating Jericho at Mania as well. You know, and just there. Because during the opening.
You don't have anybody set up for him, though, after that. I mean, you need to keep Punk Jericho going for like 6 months.
Well,
you don't have anything set
that's
up.
True. They don't have anything else.
There's nobody else coming. I mean, I'm not gonna pay for fucking Punk versus Miz after.
No, God no. Or Ziggler.
Yeah.
But I do. I'd like to see Jericho. I get to our opening match, Jericho and Kofi, as a program, and I do think that Jericho will work with Kofi in a program before the end of 2012.
You know, it's funny because I was complaining about Kofi being in this, and like you say, he was good in that debate. His logic was, yeah, okay, I've been overlooked and I've been underachieving, but in one night I can change all that, and that the psychology of that's terrific, and his delivery was terrific. I've felt like I didn't like him being in this chamber because it was kind of like, oh man, the depth is so poor. I was complaining about him being in it more than, even though he's been in it a couple times in the past, I was complaining about it more this year because in the past I felt like he's been an up-and-coming guy, whereas now I felt like he's a guy who had his chance, missed it, and it was never going to get there. And yet he's, you know.
Still hanging around. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I saw this promo. I could see how well he can work, some of the things he can do. Maybe, I think, it's never too late. Mark Henry showed that this year, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, all he is at this point is John Morrison, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a former tag team partner that likes drugs that's probably going to get fired, and now he's a flippy guy.
Yeah. Well, actually, but he and Punk were tag team champions together once.
That's true. So that's two extremes, isn't it?
It really is.
It is. Evan Bourne and CM Punk.
CM Punk.
But, I mean, I just think Jericho has always seemed to like to work with Kofi.
Yeah.
They've done it a lot. And so I kind of see him as wanting to take Kofi up and try to get him to that next level.
Kofi got a chance. I mean, truth only got what? Kofi got a chance after his little speech at the debate, which I thought
that's
was
true.
A good sign.
Yeah.
I've been saying for a while I want to see Kofi turn heel. So, I mean, if he turned heel and took on Punk, I'd find that far more interesting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just maybe next summer, right? But not this coming summer, but the following. If you work with
well, it's just because you have nobody set up, like I said.
Yeah, but nobody set up versus a quick setup. R-Truth was a quick setup, and where did that get him, right? I mean, you can't just slap a Band-Aid on these and do these quick setups. They don't work. You've got to do this over time, and the short term, like the short term, may suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the bust to every boom is that no one wants to build new guys while things are riding high, and then you pay for it with the bust, and then it takes a long time to build it back up, and that's where we're still at. Is it's taken a while to build. I mean, you're getting guys. I mean, Punk has come up. You know, Zack Ryder has come up versus what he was last year, right? I mean, I'm not saying that he's the main event of WrestleMania kind of thing, but I mean,
I suppose he's come up from where he was. But
yeah, Mark Henry come up, but let's keep going back to Raw here. Then it's because we're speaking of Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder come out in the wheelchair, and
we're gonna go through a segment by segment.
Well,
I'm
just trying to think of what happened. We're talking about Raw.
Remember. Yeah, okay.
And so I'm trying to. Jog my memory, and I don't think we have to follow it to
my
a team.
Problem was, almost immediately as soon as I saw Ryder, I thought, this sucks. Like, he just looks so stupid in the wheelchair. And the problem is what his injury was too big too fast. He's in a wheelchair and he already can't really walk. Well, really, I mean, the point is, what they should have done is, he's beat up, but he's not that hurt until there's an angle which will put them out for a long time, which appeared to be at the end of this show. Like, it's the that they treated his previous injuries too serious, so everything became...
Well,
so he couldn't perform in a logical manner when he had to do things like get to the ring in this, and then it became ridiculous. So,
well,
I mean,
but Meltzer,
if they made him so hurt.
Meltzer said exactly what I was thinking when I watched the show, was that he's Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
You know, he gets choke slammed off the side onto those crates. He's in a whatever he was in a back brace. He gets thrown off or through the stage.
Roger Rabbit?
He's in a wheelchair, right? Now he's getting wheeled off the side of the stage. Are you just going to come back? I mean, cares? I mean, he'll sit in a wheelchair, but, I mean, maybe now he'll have his arm.
But the thing is, if they had him just hurt and beat up but not in a wheelchair, if they hadn't treated all these injuries, if they had just had him get hurt and be hurt but not in a wheelchair, then when he got into the ring, people wouldn't have been laughing at how stupid this was with Cena. But we'll get there.
Yeah. But anyway, so he said this. I mean, some of this angle I liked. On or off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too.
This deal. I did enjoy that WCW-rific here when Cena is about to get the reaction or react to the Rock thing, and right before that they cut to Eve walking into the ambulance.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she starts screaming.
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
That was WC. That was
but,
Thunder.
That was Thunder. But I like the thing, Kane about to drive away with Eve. Eve jumps out into Cena, kisses Cena. Of course, you know exactly what they're going to look over, and there's Zack Ryder, right?
Yeah.
Zack Ryder fuming, and then Eve saying, I just want to be friends, and Ryder just...
If Ryder hadn't looked so ridiculous, it would have worked a lot more. His overacting plus the wheelchair.
Well, he's not a good actor, no.
Yeah, the overacting plus... Well, no, and Eve's not exactly a good actor either.
No, but it's the message. It's, you know, she kisses another guy, and then she says, Zach, I just want to be friends, right?
Yeah, but can you blame her? I mean, I don't think her character came across poorly. People are booing her character. There was the Twitter trend, Eve is a whore or a slut or whatever it was.
Poor Zach.
Yeah, fuck that. But there was, at the same time, yeah, I mean...
But that's what the deal is supposed to be, right? The deal is to feel sympathy for Zack Ryder.
To feel confliction for Cena. See, I like this for Cena because for the first time, I've always complained that Cena is too perfect. Now he's not perfect. To me, this makes his character more likable, more interesting. Because all of a sudden, it's like he's kind of screwing up and he's not perfect and not everything goes great and he's not just some wicked dude who never does anything wrong. All of a sudden, he feels like more of a person to me. I actually like him more doing this, even though he screwed up, because to me, it rounds up the character a lot more.
Yeah, I just think that... I mean, to me, the whole part was to put... The whole reason behind this was to put the sympathy on Zach, right?
And the heat on Cena.
And the heat on Cena and Eve.
And Eve.
I mean...
And again, I don't think Eve's character comes across poorly personally, because I'm looking at it going, okay, so you got a guy who's capable of saving her, who's a good guy, who's always there for her, and a guy who likes her that she never really seemed to like that much, who's a complete fuck.
Well, but she did seem to, I mean...
So it's kind of the way, I mean, don't get me wrong, the week before or whatever, 2 weeks before, she's sitting there yelling at Cena going, you did this, when Kane did
and yelled at Laurinaitis or whatever, right? And
yeah,
then
I don't think her character comes across. I can't really blame her character. I don't think the character's coming across. It's her as an actor. She's so annoying.
I don't think
so. Terrible. I can't stand her. I just want her off the screen. I mean, I won't say I hate this woman, but I strongly dislike she's just awful on screen. I mean, I'll say this about her. This is probably shocking news. I'd fuck her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I'm sure she's looking forward to it.
Yes, yes.
But other than that...
Far forward. But I think that... When I look at Eve's character, and you're saying she's not likable.
Late breaking news.
In the way that the late breaking, I think you come early. But the character, though, in the WWE historical booking, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that this is getting her heel heat, right? This is just the misogynistic WWEF way women are bitches, and they'll fuck you over in the end. And that's just how they book.
So Vince Russo wrote that.
Brian Gewirtz, too. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way that they do these things. So for them to get it so that Eve is booed, and the fact is, again,
but even
Ryder
comes out
still
at the end,
liked.
He's still not. Ryder's right, but I don't feel like Eve is wrong yet. That's
no, Ryder is liked.
Oh, Ryder is
so
liked.
So the sympathy on Ryder is there.
Yeah, the sympathy,
and
right, because he is liked, this worked a lot better than it could have.
I think the performances across the board were awful.
Yeah.
But the story itself, when you put it on paper, it it's a good story.
The idea, though, that's the thing. It's I feel like some of the stuff was a little over the top. Some of the ideas didn't quite work. And some of the execution of those ideas, like, didn't quite work.
And you had to fucking have Santino come in the
well,
middle.
Well, that's awful. And that was not funny.
No.
And Santino's usually very funny. Santino actually coming in and saying, I opened the door and going, I don't know my own strength, and you know, flexing. That was funny. And then when the
garlic
strips. Was just him being Santino.
The garlic strips at 1 a.m. on my PVR, I fast-forwarded through.
That was not
funny. Well, as soon as he said garlic, I went next.
Yeah, it's not funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so there was, look, like, the ideas of what they're doing with Cena, making him not perfect and conflicting him and his things, I like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like you say, the storyline ideas are good. The execution of the storyline, both from a actual angles and from the performances, poor.
I gotta tell you.
That's
the
shame.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't strongly dislike it as a lot of people.
But the thing is, I mean, some of the key lines, like when Eve said, I just want to be your friend. And you, the crowd's like, oh, like, you yeah. fucking cunt. Like, you
even
know,
though,
like,
even though I think she's, I don't blame her for saying that, personally. I don't think
no,
the character's coming across poorly,
Zach is
but
the,
a lot of people are.
Zach is your lovable
it
underdog.
Worked for a lot of people.
Zach is your lovable underdog character that is clearly overachieving with Eve.
Yeah.
And you're rooting for the underdog there.
Yeah.
And then when she shows interest in him, and then after she kisses Cena,
mm-hmm.
mere seconds later, drops that I think we should just be friends line on it. Like, you fucking bitch. Like, that's the thing. But that's,
yeah.
and that's how the crowd reacted, right?
Yeah,
it was, I thought
perfect.
That was great.
Yeah.
And then, but the way she said it, the face that, you know, the constipated look on Ryder's face to be
yeah.
bad.
He doesn't know how to look sad. He only knows how to look like he's taking a shot.
To me, the worst, though, was Kane.
Oh, Kane is
on
awful.
The Jumbotron
oh,
there, on the
awful.
Titantron, before he come out. That was like it. He was clearly reading a cue card and not well.
No.
Like,
well, just like he was. Just like they opened it with a video package of him going off the air with Eve last week, and I was going,
yeah.
"Why are they opening with this? Because this is so bad."
Well,
and he's being really bad, and I'm looking at that mask and how phony it looks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it just and now that I know that that's not what he looks like at all anymore. He'd be more effective without the mask. This character and everything they're doing would be more effective without the mask.
I still think, though, that like the thing that really got to me when I'm watching this and he's reading that so horribly is...
Well, the lines, are the dialogue
but
is so
when we listened,
ridiculous.
When we watched on YouTube that, whatever, the 12 parts of, like, what they didn't want you to see, right,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
and they had the Brock Lesnar thing, and they taped it, and then they went in the back, they did it for Jericho as well, you know, where they went back and they revoiced it over.
Yeah.
And the words were the same, but it was the cadence that they made them change and putting the things. Like, this was awful, and it was a pre-tape.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what they left, right? That,
but because they think that's what the character should be.
Well,
that's
and that's,
the problem.
That is the awful part, is that this is like, but I can't see.
This
like,
is their vision of the character.
But. This cannot be Vince McMahon's vision of the character. Like, Vince has to be hands-off on that part because...
This is the main event angle, so...
No, but not on it, but I know, and as much
so
as...
No, it has got to be
I know, but that's not Vince. Because all of Vince's characters, like, when you heard Brock Lesnar do that thing, and they redid it, and it was him and Stephanie, and they're both doing the same, you know... Well, it's Mr. McMahon. Vince wants all of them to sound like Mr. McMahon, right? And Kane sounded so far from that. Like
he didn't even sound like Kane.
No, he didn't sound like anything. He's like, this is a public service announcement. Like, that's pretty much what he sounded like,
yeah,
right? Maybe Linda
yeah.
had a hand in it then.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Like Senator of Connecticut.
The Senator of Connecticut. Oh, yeah, she's going to be on the best of.
Yes. But... I mean, that to me was just awful.
It was awful.
It was awful.
Well, let's finish off with this one instead of moving on to anything else. Then let's finish off with the with what else happened. She kisses this guy. I mean, John Cena basically says, "I'm going to bring this woman to you.
Mm-hmm.
Stay here in my locker room where you'll be safe because after all, he only was attacked in his Zach was attacked when he was in Zach's locker room a couple
yeah.
weeks ago. But in Cena's locker room, he'd be safe.
Fucking Cena's locker room.
Fucking right. So I mean." Instead, he wheels out and he sees these two making out.
Mm-hmm.
John immediately feels bad about it. The second after it happened,
yeah, he's
but,
like, "What was that about?"
But when it happened, well, he started to pull back and then went right for it. Right. So I mean, there's so he's
so he has a penis.
He has a penis. Well, he fucked Mickey before, remember?
That's true. Remember? That's true.
She came up to him, he's like, and he gave her panties, he's like, you left these there last night or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all those years ago.
Didn't know he had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
But,
Snitsky.
That's right. That was Snitsky, too.
Jesus Christ. Had a foot fetish. But, so what happened was John Cena goes out to the ring, and he apologizes. The crowd chants, "We all hate you," at him. They really are booing him. Everybody, even the kid, there wasn't really any cheers for him this time, which is
no. And then when he took his shirt off, that while they're trying to have that intense stare down, they're chanting, throw it back.
But the problem was, so he's in there and he's cutting this promo, basically saying, "I screwed up. I'm sorry, Zach."
Mm-hmm.
Blah blah blah. Kane cuts his horrible promo, and then Zach comes out and he's in a wheelchair, but he gets up. He can walk as long as he has his crutches. He can walk, and then he gets to the ring
and he can walk.
Climb the stairs, and now he doesn't need crutches.
Now he doesn't need. It's a miracle.
And he walks over to him, and he's just so slow. It took him like 7 minutes to get to the ring. Did you see Joey Styles' tweet on that?
No.
He said it took him, even with a wheelchair, crutches, and a broken back, he still got to the ring faster than the Great Khali.
Yes, maybe. Iron Sheik beat him, though.
That was awesome. So he gets in the ring. Now he takes a step forward. Basically, Cena apologizes, and Zach just fumes at him.
Slaps him.
Cena lets it go, takes another, Zach said something to him or something. I can't remember the exact
details. You know what Zach said? He pointed at him. He's like, "You got lust in your eyes."
Awesome. Well, that would have been better.
They did do the mega power handshake that one time, remember?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The minor.
Basically, what happens is Cena is getting berated by this guy who's so pissed at him, wants to fight him, even with his broken back, over what he's done. Because he's so mad, right? And his acting is so poor. And Cena's trying not to get into it. He doesn't want to fight his friend, who's beat up. He takes off his shirt. He's getting pissed off. Zach goes to take a swing at him. Cena blocks it, goes to take a swing at Zach, but Zach falls backwards and is broken back. And then Cena's apologizing.
Cena grabbed his hand, though, like his fist, grabbed his fist. And Ryder pulled his fist back, and that's when he tumbled back and fell. And then he's like, "Just get the hell away from me."
Yeah, Cena's like, "Oh my God, are you all right?" And he's like, "Get away from me, get away from me.
Stay the hell away from me, right?
And Cena's, and the crowd's booing or whatever. So it's a factor to the live crowd to some degree, despite the ridiculous. So then Zach gets back in his wheelchair, rolls his way up, and then actually the Kane video played, I think.
Video played, and then that's when Kane actually comes out.
Yeah, Kane comes out, and he wheels Zack Ryder's in the wheelchair, he throws him off the stage, and this wasn't gimmicked. He really took one hell of a tumble.
So you think so?
Yeah.
No, I see. The first angle, yes, right? I thought, holy shit. You know, like you really did this. And, but then when they showed him, when Eve come out and Cena doing the dreaded X symbol come out.
He did, yes. That
they
was
showed the side. Yeah, but they showed the side to show that it's like the drop was like 2.5 feet. And he landed on pads.
Landed on cement.
No, Cena put his knee down and it like.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, oh yeah. It looked, the first angle, I agree, the first angle looked great. But then when they went over to the side there, yeah, I was just like.
Kind of stupid?
Yeah, I think I may have done that in Vegas. So, I mean, it's
a hangover.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, all right, fine then. Okay, but whatever. They take him out on it. Cena comes, does the X single, and Eve comes out and is crying over Zach's prone body.
Yes,
being
the massive
out.
Boost. He got more boost than boost, Cena.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I say, there's some good ideas there. And I do think at the end, like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, as the Rock build comes, I don't think people are going to remember the horrible performances. I think they're going to remember the actions of the storyline.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's going to get over.
Well, the Rock's not on this week, but then he is the following week, the 27th, right?
Yeah.
So that's when Rock's, and I think he's on pretty much every week.
This is our game plan. We're recording this on a Wednesday. We're going to talk SmackDown spoilers as well here. We're going to interview Vinny Roo, continue talking Raw. The plan is to watch some Elimination Chamber, do a show after that. The next night on Raw, we're going to have a special plan where we The plan is to explain the concept.
Well, if we could figure out kind of how to, we got to get the a setup here with my, we got to throw this stuff on my laptop or do some things,
yeah,
and you have a microphone
or whatever.
We got a microphone. So what we're going to try to do is a stream of consciousness is we're going to watch Raw and just, this is what we do anyway. We basically do a show without anybody listening while we watch Raw. So we thought, well, we might as well just get a microphone and do a stream of consciousness.
Live commentary as Raw's going on.
And I'm hilarious.
It's pretty damn funny. Yeah, oh, Addy has me cracking up. And the good thing about this, what I like is that WWE is doing this. Have you heard? This is one of their shows,
what?
Their YouTube channel.
Hmm.
Is a Mystery Science Theater takeoff where it's Road Dogg and Josh Matthews, and they sit there and look at like old on the YouTube channel. They look at old shows or old angles, wrestling matches, and they make the commentary. And apparently, they've recorded like 10 of these, and like one of them's good enough to air. They're not funny. They're not
really.
Yeah, and then you and I are gonna do this, kick their ass, and when they come and ask us if we would rather do it for them, we're gonna turn them down.
I would think Road Dogg would be really good at that.
No,
actually.
It's apparently it's not working at all.
Oh.
I think that's. Are you serious? They have like 3 episodes up, but apparently they're just
Yeah, we'll go watch that after. We'll record this. But I would think Road Dogg, yeah, would be really good at that. But, no, you know who they should get to do that, actually? Road Dogg, and you know who they should have as their straight guy? Is Dean Malenko. Really, because he's apparently hilarious backstage that no one ever sees.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
A dry sense of humor and stuff. Yeah. It's just, you know, that they really...
Well, maybe Joff Matthews is the problem. Who knows? But it's apparently not working. So anyways, but we're going to be kind of doing that concept, but ours will work.
That's the plan.
And
anyway.
I also think that will be that night during a commercial. Maybe this is where we bring the chair gimmick in.
Yes, that's right.
Addy's gonna give me a couple stiff chair shots with a headphone or the headset on so you can all hear it, and then we'll talk about it so we can give you an actual...
Mo wants me to hit him with a chair so he can talk about whether it hurts.
Well, I want to talk about whether or not, because there's the controversy, is it as bad or isn't it as bad?
Well,
I feel like I can't talk about it unless I have somebody do it to me. And I figure it might as well be a 95-pound weakling.
That's why Mo's never talked about sex. But...
Oh, man, last night...
I
mom.
Yeah, my point exactly. But
right,
we need to get.
To
now I think we got to get to the best part.
Let's save that. Let's talk. Let's talk about the Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and SmackDown.
Okay. Well, let me just say one thing about the best part of Raw. I just want to say what it is.
You mean Tamina Snuka?
Tamina has a last name. Snuka.
True. It is a good thing to do.
Yeah, it does. It is. I mean, it does actually... you got Beth Phoenix. I mean, but other than that, it's like, you know, well, I guess Kelly. But, I mean, other than that, it's like Brie, and you've got Nikki. And
Brie Bella.
I know. But they, Natty, and AJ, and, like, you know, nobody... Caitlin, and, like, nobody ever had...
Rosa Mendez.
Rosa.
Mendez.
Mendez.
Eve.
Torres. Lillian!
Tamina Snuka.
Garcia! Wow, they like Latinos.
I like Tamina Snuka because she doesn't look like all their fucking divas.
No, I know.
You know?
I was hoping if they were going to put the Snuka name on anyone, it would have been Karma.
Karma Snuka? Maybe they still will.
You know, because if anything... if anybody,
you know this Black Jeff guy you met, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think... That's the father. Yeah. But I would have thought you can't give Karma the Snuka last name until someone tries to kill Jimmy. So a woman, I guess, would have to try to kill Jimmy, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
right, that's right.
But
then Karma would be a bitch.
True. No, her last name has to be Chameleon.
Karma Chameleon? Sure does.
Because she comes and goes.
She comes and goes. She
really?
Comes and goes.
Oh, it's the baby. We want to talk about the Daniel Bryan, Big Show, Randy Orton.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown spoilers in this, too, because basically what I want to get to is I think I'm more interested in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
For SmackDown.
Now that Santino's in it.
But yeah, that's the thing. In this match, they had this match on Raw between
Orton and Big Show.
Orton and Big Show. And there was two things that were interesting. Number one, a terrible blown spot by the Big Show where he forgot the finish, where Orton goes for the RKO, and he was supposed to push him off.
Is that what was supposed to happen?
Yeah, but he forgot, and he just failed like he was getting the RKO.
Where did Randy get the concussion?
Now, storyline-wise?
No, in reality.
I don't know. Some point in the
Because I was wondering, like, in hindsight, because I'm watching this after I found out about the concussion thing, because I'm at the airport and I'm reading a little bit. But I had thought maybe he got the concussion before that, and that was maybe Randy's fuck-up.
No, I thought so. When I first saw it, I thought it was Randy's fuck-up, and when I heard he was hurt, I didn't know it was a concussion yet. I assumed it was something with the knee or whatever, because he kind of lands
right
on his leg, right? Like, I thought maybe he had blown something. But no, apparently he got a concussion at some point in the match. But, yeah, Show was supposed to push him off and didn't.
But
which is
also, though, what Show was supposed to do, which he did, was get up and yell, fuck.
And the crowd, after his blown spot.
Oh, you fucked up, yeah.
You fucked up. Very audible. Mm. So both of these things, the fuck from Big Show and this, was very audible. But that's why he was
yelling. The fuck from Big Show was very audible.
That's why he did. He was the one who fucked up.
Yeah.
In this case, he went and failed like this was the finish when it wasn't.
Now, storyline-wise, they redo the thing, they push off, fake choke slam.
Yeah,
into
at the end of the match, there's no clean pin because Daniel Bryan, who was sitting at ringside, and the part I love was Michael Cole was right beside him, so Michael Cole was singing his praises.
Yeah.
Michael Cole's just like, he's just a great champion, and blah, 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 and you're like, what a fucking phony. And then Daniel Bryan runs into there, and he hits with the belt, he hits both Show and Orton.
Yeah.
And as soon as he does, and as soon as he's got some distance. Cole's back to fucking hammering him the way he used to. This is fucking great.
Yeah. That was,
see, that worked.
That was Heenan.
Yeah.
You know, that was Heenan, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, when we watched the Royal Rumble 92, right? He's like, it's not a skirt. It's a kilt. Oh, and then he hits Flair. He's like, ah, it's a kilt. You know, like,
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that, right?
Yeah.
But, no, I think that, but that's the storyline is the belt shot. Correct. By
the storyline is Orton's out with concussion from the belt shot.
Yeah. Okay.
And then so on SmackDown, what they did was he was supposed to have a rematch with Sheamus, and what they did was Orton, but Sheamus took the place of him.
Yes.
After Big Show, because Big Show and Khali beat
Rhodes and
Barrett.
Barrett.
And then afterwards, Big Show turns on Khali and hits him.
Yeah,
and then he goes into the office. He goes into the office, demands the match replacing Orton against Bryan. Teddy Long turns him down. He wrecks the office. Long tells the security to throw him out. The security's afraid of him, so
right.
He won't. They're planting the seeds for the turn. This is why I'm now confident this Shaq thing's happening.
I see what you're saying, yeah. And also, last week, they were, it might have been Rhodes and Barrett as well, talking about how shows like the anti-Undertaker, that his like WrestleMania record is like 1-10.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and how he always loses at Mania and all this, right? So, they are starting to slowly plant the turn. I will go back to a week ago SmackDown, or not a week ago, but last Friday SmackDown, which I didn't see, but they showed the highlights of before the Orton Show match, and I thought that was really good the way that I thought Orton in particular did a great job of like with Show, and they, you know,
it looks like a really intense brawl.
Yeah, an intense brawl, and it's like an every man for himself kind of elimination chamber.
Yeah,
this
elimination chamber has been built up to everybody. There's a bunch of guys who can win, and nobody really likes each other, and it's intense.
Yeah.
Whereas the Raw one,
you're right. Yeah, is again they have the comedy. They have they do. It seems like they're just having the same old matches against each other. Where again on SmackDown they're doing these tag matches, where sadly Khali is beating everybody. But, I mean, who knows? And
but they need to build him up a little. But the thing is, so all this was good, except for Mark Henry came in. The plan was for Mark Henry to replace Orton, but
right.
He's still too hurt. They didn't go with that. I thought you would go. I thought maybe Sheamus, but that doesn't make sense. He should hold off. I thought Swagger should be the guy. What they did was a battle royal, and the winner of the battle royal would get the spot.
Yeah.
Tonga was put in by Laurinaitis at the last minute, and Tonga looked like he was going to win it.
Yeah.
But Tonga was thrown out in the end by
Santino Marella.
And we're talking about how they're having...
We'll
talk about a couple things. They don't have much roster depth, so that hurts them.
I did think
he is popular, so it got a huge pop, and nobody expected it, apparently.
Yeah, great.
But at the end, it's Santino Marella in the Elimination Chamber for the world title.
The thing was, I mean, yeah, really, the only person that could have been worse was Hornswoggle. Really?
It is.
That's
yeah.
And but the thing was, when they had said that, I was expecting kind of a surprise reading it, the spoilers as it's done, because Teddy Long had said we're going to have a battle royal, and anybody in the building is eligible for this, right? So you don't know who's in the back, blah, blah,
anybody.
Blah, right?
Actually, so, Jim Duggan would have been better.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But actually, he would have been, because if Foley, yeah, maybe Foley would have been, you know. But nah, I would say no to Foley, because you don't want to, I mean, you
Booker
don't.
Booker T?
Yeah, yeah. See, Booker T running in and doing it, that, yeah. I would have, yeah, I didn't even think of Booker T, but that he's commentating.
I did not until right now.
He's in the building, and he's commentating. So
he would have been much better. Actually, he would have been very good there.
Yeah, that's actually.
That's the guy they should have gone with.
Yeah. Now, again, there's nothing says that someone pulls an Edge. And beats Santino up.
Brody and Clay, who's off TV, could have been in there, but he's used to being off TV.
Well, but that, have you heard that, we'll hit Brodus real quick, is that Vince thinks he needs to improve his work. So he's back to darks now. Dark
Seriously,
matches.
That's what it is?
Yeah, he's on hold for now. And I mean, I don't have a problem necessarily with that, because we're going to be in the Mania swing here, and Brodus Clay should not be on Mania. And so, to pick him back up over the thing, right?
I know why
start him at all.
Why start him at all? Part of me is sitting there going, how many guys on the roster need to actually improve their work? But I guess the difference is most of those guys on the roster who need to improve their work, like fucking, Mason Ryan, Ezekiel Jackson, all these guys actually aren't going to go anywhere. So if they're going to go somewhere with, you know, Jinder Mahal, these guys need to improve their work. But since they aren't going anywhere, and Brodus might, and if he thinks he needs to improve his work, then that is the right move.
Well, my whole thing, though, with it is he thinks he needs to improve his work, and I agree with him. I mean, I liked the gimmick and the dancing and the music and everything, but as soon as the bell rang, I mean, he just looked awkward, and, like, he did his moves.
How can you tell? 35-second squash.
Well, but that's what I mean. But it looked like he was setting up. He did his overhead throw, his charge in the corner, and his crossbody, right? Mm-hmm. And that was it. But it didn't flow to me. And he only did three moves.
That's true.
So if you're going to build this back, if he's still having trouble with those three moves, making it look like a flow, you know, then you gotta keep going. And so, I mean, I like the gimmick, but see, to me, when you're talking about, Jinder Mahal and guys like that, they're obviously not going anywhere, so they don't necessarily need to improve their work. Brodus Clay is the Funkasaurus, is not a main event gimmick.
No, but it can get over with the crowd, and it could be what the Godfather was.
Yeah, but I don't think, he doesn't need to improve his work to get over with he was getting over with the crowd, right?
He was, yeah.
The thing is, you're just running out of jobbers is what you're doing, right?
That doesn't matter.
I mean, he went back to Heath Slater again, and it's like, you know what I mean?
Say, like, you can beat anybody local. You can beat local guys. That doesn't matter. I mean, what does it mean for the Funkettes?
Tracy and Nadine.
Yeah, who knows? How about this? I just want to say this because I know he's healthy. What is their plan with Christian? They got to have a fucking plan.
Maybe Christian takes out Santino. That's actually what I would do, because that's Edge's gimmick.
That's perfect. That's Edge's gimmick. Yeah. Oh, man, because he did that to Kofi.
Yes.
That would be so fucking wicked, actually. That would be, and then win it. Fuck it. Win it. He should win the title. Like Edge did.
Yeah. Sheamus and Christian?
Fucking right. I'd watch.
Where does that leave Daniel Bryan, though? I hate to pull the rug out from Daniel Bryan. I really,
you know, it's funny because Daniel Bryan, you're right, and to some degree I do too. I just think it's exciting for them to do that because it worked with Edge and it just plays in. Daniel Bryan, the thing about it, Daniel Bryan is, you talk about who's Owen Hart, but in many ways his title reign is the Honky Tonk Man. He's seen as a guy who's upper mid-card and he's good, but he's not at the level of being a champion. Who's lucky enough to keep on holding on to the belt, and people want to see him get beat up and are waiting for him to lose.
Yeah,
I
think the comparison to the Honky Tonk Man is valid, especially with the technical ability. But I mean that's his reign, I guess, is that way. And really, I mean, in many ways, you could even on the mic call him the Honky Tonk Man as well. You know, I'm the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know, so that, but I don't like him losing. I like Daniel Bryan keeping the title. But at the same time, you know, to move to Christian, what I worry about is Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania without the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, he's in the Money in the Bank then. It makes sense, and he wins it. Because this is how he cashed it in last time. There's a lot of storylines you can do of putting him in the Money in the Bank.
Well, the thing is, if they're talking about Money in the Bank, you know, you've got a lot of former winners. You know, you've got the Jack Swaggers and the Miz. Like, are there enough former winners? I don't think there are. Are there enough former winners that you could have a former winner only Money in the Bank? Because you got to take out Punk, you got to take out RVD, you got to take out Edge, right?
Yeah.
And Ken Kennedy, you got to take him out.
Yeah.
So you got like Del Rio, Brian, Swagger. Is that it? Miz,
yeah.
And
that's his spot for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's if you're so. I can't think of anybody like who else. I mean, because
yeah,
Punk won twice.
Punk won twice. Yeah.
RVD won one. Edge won the first one. Kennedy won one, but then Edge took it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to the who else? Didn't they have two for 2 years? Oh, Swagger was one. Was it? Wasn't
Swagger.
Swagger won one, or did Swagger win it at Mania?
Swagger and Miz both held it at the same time, I believe, didn't they?
Did they? Okay.
And then they got rid of. They used Swagger's up right
Swaggers
away.
Swagger's went right away, right? So they still only had one, and that was at the that was at the Money in the Bank, the first Money in the Bank pay per view, was
yeah,
it
I
not?
Think so yeah.
Because they had
yeah.
two then. So yeah, I mean, so there aren't enough guys of former winners that you could do. I mean, unless RVD is coming back, but even then you can't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's
okay.
Not.
So either way. You've got 50-50, and then you put in the Kofi, right?
Yeah.
For the flippy doos, and you can throw in, you know, who
Truth and whatever.
Truth.
Ziggler.
What about Rey Mysterio? Not ready to come back. Probably don't want to throw him in a Money in the Bank when he is anyway. You know. Hey, be in this really dangerous match now that your knee's 98%.
His knee's 2%.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, his knee will improve to 2%.
His knee is a carton of milk. But anyway, so then there's the Money in the Bank. But then you could put Daniel Bryan in there as well.
I would do, and then I'd have him win because he did it last time, and he could be so obnoxious this time.
Christian.
That's what I do. But you know, again, there's
a possibility though. Christian coming in then on that live
because he's healthy, and they're not putting him in this. I gotta think they have some big idea for him. Like, otherwise, why would you save him?
You think Vince McMahon has a big idea for Christian?
Because they're so thin on talent? Yes. He's got to have something for him.
I don't think so. Well, I think he may have something. I don't know that he has this grandiose idea for him. But I do like the idea of him beating Santino.
Because he is going to get a big pop when he comes back, and he's going to be hot for a month.
Well, just that. I do like the idea of him beating Santino and going... In the chamber. And then you can have and if he wins, you have Sheamus saying, "Oh, you think you're so smart, fella? Well, I'm going to challenge you for your title."
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's move on to one other thing that happened on Raw that we'll just quickly mention. I just want to talk about Laurinaitis. Otunga has a plan to make Laurinaitis not just a permanent GM.
Oh, yes.
Now, he's the interim GM, which means that he doesn't really have the job. He's just filling it in. He can be fired at any time. But if he becomes the permanent GM, it'll mean that he could be fired at any time because all the managers have been.
You're
what the
fired.
Fuck is the difference?
Well, you know, but then he also, but the other comment he made is not only the GM of Raw,
that's what
SmackDown.
I'm talking about. Do you think that they're going to put him on both shows and replace Long? Do you think that the idea is he's a hot enough character and he's been a good enough performer? Because he's impressed me in front of the camera. I thought he would blow. He's become a good character.
Well, CM Punk said that. Oh no, he begged.
He begged. That's right.
You know what this is? You know honestly what this does to me is this signifies not that it hasn't, but I think this would further facilitate the end of the brand extension. When I heard that, I figured the idea was for. Laurinaitis to have a guy, Long to have a guy, winner's guy, becomes the GM of WWE.
Yeah.
Right? So you have whoever Long picks versus whoever Laurinaitis picks, and then you can have someone with Otunga being all, like, figuring he's going to get picked and, you know, and Laurinaitis. You could even, if you want to tie this in kind of like the hair versus hair gimmick with Trump, is if Teddy Long calls up Shaq, right? and Laurinaitis has the Big Show, right? And that
yeah.
further sort of plays that if they're going to do a one-on-one, you know, it's then there's another stake on the line. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's lots of different possibilities where you could kind of tag on this stip to a match like a Foley Ziggler or, you know, something that way. And then if you want to actually tie in Foley being just dejected after Mania that he cost Teddy Long his job and spin that off for Foley something all the way to maybe SummerSlam, right? If he plays a non-wrestling kind of spiraling character, you know, for the summer. That culminates in something as well. I'm probably thinking way more than they have into these things.
Well, you're thinking
but,
way more than you are.
Maybe not that fully, but you know that kind of thing. So you could slap a tag, or you do a whole new match that we've never even brought up yet. Where take two guys. I mean, who cares, right? Raw versus SmackDown. Not that means anything anymore. You know, Wade Barrett versus someone, right? So I have no idea who, but. You know, something like that. Anyway,
yeah. There's a lot of ways they could go on, and it is interesting that throwing it out there, especially the timing, like you say, as a leading towards Mania.
But that's what I read that to be is planting the seeds to Long's guy versus Laurinaitis' guy. Winner is the GM.
And no more brand extension. Okay.
Well, not no more brand extension per se. Just no. There hasn't. I mean, with the Raw Super Show, there hasn't been a brand extension for a long time. They've just had these two guys. I saw Teddy Long, I mean, Christ, I don't remember what I was watching where Teddy Long was the general manager, and it was like, the old Royal Rumbles, and Teddy Long was out there, and it was like the 2002 Royal, I'm like, what? No, it wasn't that far back, but it's like been forever, and it's just, you know, stale as hell, and I think...
Well, I think the idea of a on-screen character...
Jack Tunney. Right?
Yeah, that's, like I say, Jack Tunney showed up once, twice a year.
And John Laurinaitis is Jack Tunney level.
Yeah,
right?
I think the on-screen weekly character is played out, but as
authority
figure. Authority
thing. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the true best angle and the reason why I can't hate this show because this had this. Shawn Michaels came to the ring, and Shawn looks like he's been working out real hard, doesn't he?
Oh yes, yes he has. You know, I wasn't sure if they had Krispy Kreme donuts in San Antonio until now.
But apparently they do.
Apparently they do.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's...
He didn't actually look so bad when he unzipped the vest. I'll give it that. The vest was not slimming.
No. But even then, he's not being...
No, he's not. No, he's not.
He's been enjoying life, and you know what?
Wait,
if he's gonna
why
be,
not?
And which means one or two things. Either he's going to get in shape to be the referee at Mania, which appears to be the thought, or Vince is going to love putting him in that short-sleeved shirt to show off his arms like he did with Laurinaitis because he's looking out of shape and that's a rip.
You know what I like, actually, is the... because Vince always does win in the end, and for all the aggravation that Shawn put him through in the 90s, right? Here it is. Show off your gut, buddy.
Yeah.
But you know what I do... think maybe an angle that you just mentioned that Shawn Michaels showing the guts, been loving life off time, is that the swerve here is that he ends up with Michelle McCool, who's loving life.
Who's loving life.
So, but a couple things happen there that I'd like to point out. They talk about how Johnny Ace, we talked about the continuity so important. Johnny Ace invited Shawn to come in, right? Shawn this week says I called Johnny Ace and said I gotta be here, right? So I'm going, well, okay, which is which?
I know, but it
kind of is. But as I said, it's just that's the stuff that if
that's
you're
Shawn
paying,
going out there and just
I know, I know
says,
that's the
he
bullet.
Doesn't watch every week.
That's true. He's like the rest of us. But the thing is, the first point that I'll make here. Is that because we were talking about whether is this going to be a face versus face match? Is Hunter going to go out and you know play the heel? He's getting boos at this point because he's saying no to the match, right? And he's saying things that are you know not necessarily heelish the first time, but he was getting booed because of you know it's just saying no to this match that people really want to see. But then he did his first real sort of, Hunter did his first real heel thing, where it was like no doubt in my mind that this guy is going to be a dick heel. Because he looked at Shawn Michaels and he said, you go hunting with I don't even know who, right? Mm-hmm. Triple H does not know Stumpy.
Stumpy! Shawn Michaels and Stumpy will be our best of show.
Yes, but they're like the new DIY, they're like just inseparable, Shawn Michaels and Stumpy, and for Triple H to like totally no-sell Stumpy's existence,
that's a
pretty what a
move.
Fucking heel, right? Yeah, a what a fucking heel.
That to the old listeners, regular listeners, know what we're referencing. Everybody else, you're just popping me, but that's okay. Let's move on.
But no,
seriously, what do you talk about the angle? I thought Shawn was a little off.
He got
a little,
but
Shawn was a little off, got a little better as he went on.
He did. And towards the end, he
Triple
built
H
it up.
Was awesome.
Oh, Triple H, when he, you know, and basically Shawn was just come out to say, you know, well, I'm just here because I know you're just playing with them. I know you're just playing.
Mind games.
Yeah, it's just mind games. You said no, throw him off his game. He's really getting pissed. You're throwing him off. You know what you got to do. So come on out and let's do this for real this time, right?
Yeah.
And he said no.
And set the match, yeah.
Yeah, and he said no, and Shawn got all pissed.
Yeah. Shawn accused him of now of no longer being that rebel that DX was and now becoming one of the suits, becoming one of them.
You married that chick.
Yes.
And you became one of them.
Yeah.
And then I think the line of the promo was Triple H looking Shawn dead in the eye and just yelling, one day this is all going to be mine.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just like...
That weighs on me like a ton.
Even now,
yeah.
Even today, that weighs on me like a ton.
And there's probably a little truth there.
Yeah, well, I think that's why it came off so good is because, you know, he's saying, like, this is all going to be mine one day. I got to protect it. And then, it's like that whole sort of kind of shoot work kind of where you can believe that. And then he goes into, then he said, of course, Undertaker is a brand. And that but again, that's good. I mean, as much as we roll our eyes at that, that's a corporate buzzword. And
well,
he's playing the corporate guy, right?
And two things about it. Number one, he said it, and that would normally be a heel. But because you kind of feel for the character, like, look, I'm trying to do the right thing. I can't be who I once was. I'm trying to do the right thing. He comes across sympathetic even when he's saying things that are heel things to say.
Yeah.
I think that's what's it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he and Shawn are so good together. And
yeah, and it just the parts where, you know...
I mean, this doesn't build Elimination Chamber, but fuck, I can't wait for Mania.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. And even things like... But like I said, they're good. Hunter's smart enough to get all this great stuff now before it's Rocky's show, right?
Yeah.
So this all real good stuff is coming, and so he's kind of doing this so people are talking about him. But
everything was picture perfect here. The same people that did this do the Cena stuff. It really makes you wonder.
I know. Well, no, they're not, because this is, Shawn and Hunter, and there's bullet points
Shawn,
involved.
Because Hunter has enough power to look at that and go, that's bullshit. But anyways, let's move on.
Yeah. But, Zack Ryder doesn't have that? No. But the thing with, even when Hunter kept walking away from him, and Shawn kept grabbing him and going, I'm not done, get back here, or look me in the eye, and he's spinning him around and grabbing him, and it's just like you'd actually feel like this was an argument that they may have had when Shawn was like pilled up in like 2001, he did the comeback when he got sent home before that Mania, right? That this kind of an argument that they would actually have, but then he says no again. Basically, is what it is you've changed, man.
Yeah,
and really playing off similar to what Nash was saying. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's better.
It's better.
Because it's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
But same thing, right? You're a suit now, man.
Yeah.
You know? And
basically Shawn's saying it's not bad that you're a suit,
mm-hmm.
but don't be a suit and deny who you truly are. Be that suit and still be who you truly are.
Yeah, he's like, I get all what you gotta do.
I get
all that, he says, right?
Yeah.
But you're still being a coward.
Yeah,
because
you're
he's challenged
you really
and you've been back down, so you've turned into a pussy, right? So, but that's So, but then he says no, he's not going to do it. Yeah. And then the whole, I mean, the funny thing is that my first thought of this was, he's like, Undertaker is a brand. I'm going, yeah, but he's been around for a year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's a brand. But
he's a brand, though, at WrestleMania and the sells by.
The streak, yeah,
anyway,
that's it.
You know,
but
so.
And I can't end the streak because then without the streak, you know, blah, blah. The other thing he did say, though, is that Undertaker, Shawn, and Hunter are the end of an era.
And Shawn's already gone.
The era where guys used to take pride and work their asses off every night.
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, because they don't do that anymore. They don't work hard anymore.
You know what?
All the guys actually that they have now, they don't work as hard.
To some degree, I don't think they do.
Some guys. But,
some guys, yeah.
I mean, but you can't really, but to say that's the end of an era, it's funny.
I think there's some truth to that, though. I do think a lot of them don't work as hard because I think there's a feeling in his era that there was upward mobility possible, and I don't think that feels like
no,
anymore.
Because of him!
A lot of guys, yeah, so I mean, I won't disagree with it because of him, but I do think that when he says that he's not wrong.
Well,
100%.
When you say it's just the way he defined what that era was. I agree that they're the end of the last three guys from the Attitude Era.
That's what he should have said.
Right?
He said, we represent the Attitude Era, which set this business on its ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he should have said.
And then he could say, hell, we created the Attitude Era when he's talking to Shawn, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that
kind of thing, right?
That would have been better.
Yeah. Because especially since, like, you've got a retired guy, a guy that hasn't been around a year, and a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so it's
definitely.
Like, you're not even around anymore, right? So it's just one of those.
But since this is in many ways the real main event right now, who cares what they do with the rest of the guys?
No, it's true. But, Shawn leaves, disappointed, when he says, no, I'm still not fighting him. Hunter goes to leave,
Shawn
and then.
He's in a huff.
Yeah. And then the gong goes, and another video.
Yeah.
Right? And
not as good as the first one.
No, but similar idea. But
similar
the
idea.
Big thing on this video was the Undertaker cutting his hair.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the. It's good. And again, we talked about attention to detail. When I said they didn't do it, they did it here.
Yeah.
Is that this is. And again, this is how are we going to do this? Well, the first idea was let's put a wig on Taker and hope his hair is really fast growing. Or, you know, or we could maybe throw some of that Chia Pet stuff on his head. But instead.
I'm just picturing that.
Chia.
The Undertaker Chia Pet.
Yes.
Top seller.
Oh, yes. But that would be great, actually. But, Chia, in peace. But he's cutting his hair, so that's the deal. So who knows what he's going to look like now. That's the other part, is we don't actually know what Taker's going to look like next time we see him.
No.
Is it how much did he take? A little off, you know, did...
It didn't explain why he did it. It just showed him doing it. That's
no,
fine.
No.
But I mean, I have a thing. I don't think you see Taker until Mania. I think you build this in a way that Shawn and the videos make it sort of Hunter eventually accept. You don't see Taker until Mania, so that is a surprise.
Yeah.
And then the Underbiker comes out. That's, I believe, what they're going to do, and I think that's a good move.
Do you think he goes American Badass?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's it. This Undertaker had trouble beating you, or that Undertaker, the Phenom, had trouble beating you, but the American Badass is going to wipe the mat with you.
I guess. See, to me, it would have been the other way around, though. You know what I mean?
I agree, but it can't be. Right?
No, I know, it can't be. It can't be. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's, you know.
That's what I think they're going to do, and I think that's what they should do. I mean, they might not, but...
I don't think that's what they should do, to be honest. But because I just... He's so... We talked about last show, you know, he's so old that I think that he just... If he's going to go up...
Also, well, fuck, how old does Shawn look?
Yeah, I know.
His face?
Oh my God.
I'm like... You know what? They need to do...
And if you've seen his YouTube video where he gets his glasses and he's like, "The cheater's here." Like, he sits there...
I haven't seen that, but... No, I'm like, all I'm going to say is, you know what? They should... If they're going to have Shawn on TV more regularly, like Hunter said, hey, I think it'd be nice, I speak for everybody, it'd be nice for us to not see you just a Mania time. If they shoot, they need to go away from HDTV for Shawn's sake.
Well, more...
And our sake, if I have to look at his face.
More importantly, what pisses me off... is we talked about before the use of Mick Foley, right? And they had that Christmas SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it pisses me off now more that Mick Foley was Santa Claus when Shawn clearly still looks like him.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, he's got the belly and his beard there. And, I mean, his beard had always been kind of going that Brett Favre gray, right?
Yeah.
But he'd always been in, his face looks fatter now too, right? So he doesn't,
yeah.
He didn't pull it off. Where before he's got, he had that, you know, I've got that old, but
just, his face looked, he just looks like, the road has owned him, basically.
The ranch has owned him.
Combination.
What it was, right?
Combination.
But, anyway.
His skin looks
fruit
off.
Flavor combination.
His skin looks off. Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity. Oh, yeah, they did chant Fruity Pebbles.
They
here,
did.
Didn't they? But, yeah, that's Sean, a Taker. So, Taker's got the hair. American Badass, I don't... if they go away, I never did think of that. I just, to me, Undertaker being at the end of the line, I just think he should be the Undertaker forever. The dead man. Because, again, what has he got? Three more matches in him, maybe?
Maybe.
You know? So I don't think... I kind of... I look at that American Badass stage as that I didn't like it.
It freshened up the character for a while.
At first.
Yeah.
But then, you know, after the first 6 months, I was done with it.
Yeah.
You know? And then...
Well, like I say, I think they should do it just because I think it would be exciting and freshen up the character again. But then again, it doesn't need to happen. Because this character does work the way it is the greatest gimmick in the history of the business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So they don't need to do it. I'd be okay if they don't. But if they did do it, I think
I'd
be okay
I
that
could
too.
See that, yeah.
And I do think that is where they're going. But all right, anything else you want to say about that, or should we give Vinny Roo a call?
I think we can, yeah, we can dial up Vinny Roo. I'm just trying to think of anything else that's gone on. We talked about Santino. I do want to mention is this chamber here we're talking about, because we were talking about the, this is going to be our final show before the Elimination Chamber. So maybe we'll do Vinny Roo right at the end, and then maybe if we do a little preview here of the Elimination Chamber,
okay.
What we're kind of talking about, and then head out. I know you got to go in probably about 15 minutes or so here.
Yeah, I need to head out pretty quick.
Yeah,
here, unfortunately.
So,
I'm going to have some of the We Talk Comics podcast, actually, some creators that I'm going to be interviewing for our future episodes. So.
Sorry to hear that. but anyway, let's start with the main event. Beth Phoenix against Tamina Snuka.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Beth just wins, and that's it, right? Tamina been getting some
wins.
It
depends on whether or not Karma's coming back. If Karma's coming back, then it... And it also depends on whether or not they're going to do a multi-woman match so they have more people in Mania, which is also possible.
Or
they just do the regular thing of the Lumberjills.
Yeah. Or if the American Badass is coming back, you could have Kid Rock sing again and all the chicks could dance.
Yeah.
They did that before, right?
They did that, too.
So,
that would actually be... Yeah.
Yeah. But, whatever.
Actually, that would actually really work, though, if he came back and sang it, too, live. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
That would work.
Well, I just think of when he come back, it's kind of had that, you know,
he's here.
That
yeah.
kind of thing, right? So, but anyway. I think Beth wins. I mean,
I don't see any reason
Tamina.
To take the belt off of her. She's,
and not yet, and I don't see yeah. any reason for Tamina to have it.
Not at this point.
Right, so.
I think Tamina's green still, but she shows great potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flash is cool, but she's not. You shouldn't have her as the champ going into Mania.
No, that's right. So, then we got two chambers. Are there any other matches?
No.
Oh, the ambulance match.
Is there anything with Swagger? Swagger and his defending his belt?
No.
So he's just the IC champion or US champion. I guess it's US champion.
Well, the IC, yeah, he's the US. The IC
he's
is
just
in
not
the,
on the Elimination yeah. Chamber and probably won't be on Mania. Or maybe he'll be on.
Maybe he'll be in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he'll be in Money in the Bank.
Whatever.
Right? But
or he'll be defending his title against somebody, and it'll be the final thing, and they'll bump it.
Cena has to beat Kane
Cena has to beat Kane in the ambulance
yeah.
match, and this match looks like it's gonna suck dick. So I know the ambulance match is a brutal gimmick for a match, anyways. And
yeah.
then these two just as a work doing it. No interest really.
No, the only thing that I could...
The only thing is, how do they further the angle for Cena and his character? That's what's interesting.
Well, the only thing I see is... I could see Eve leaving with Kane.
That's possible.
Right? But that's it. But, I mean...
Possible.
But even then, you can't really do that without Kane being victorious, and Cena has to win.
Does Cena have to win? I'm not sure 100% he has to win.
Yes, because I don't want this to go on.
No, but it wouldn't go on because you're going to Mania, tell you the truth.
I know. So then what do? You just drop it? He wins and you drop it? Like, that's
stupid. Yeah, he didn't. No, it isn't. The angle, or you could have him beat him.
I guess he never embraced the hate.
He never embraced the hate, and therefore now he can't beat The Rock.
Yeah, there is that.
He's not going in at 100%.
There is that.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm not 100% sure. It could be. But either way, I don't really give a shit.
Well, the actual action will
suck.
The actual action
will suck. I do want to see, though, where they're going angle.
Yeah, exactly. The finish will be intriguing, right?
Yeah.
Should be the last couple minutes. Should be good. Yeah. So then we've got, what do we want to start with? We'll start with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber.
If they do what we're saying and throw Santino out for any of those surprises, I'm going to be really excited for this. It could be great. Historically, the SmackDown, if you look at the last few Elimination Chambers, the SmackDown Chamber is the better of the two.
You say that, but this one involves, at this particular point in time, Cena and the Great Santino and the Great Khali, right? So immediately you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you've got Brian, Show, Cody and Barrett, right? Are the four?
Yeah.
And then you've got these other two dungers that are in this thing.
Yeah.
And so you're right. I mean, even with Khali being this massive guy, blah blah blah, right? And the sad part is that Khali's got to eliminate one person, right? For it to, like, he's got to eliminate like Cody or Barrett in order to, for, you know, who's going to stop this giant? And then someone will stop
Big
him,
Show.
Right? And, or,
Show,
yeah, exactly, right? So, or Big Show and Khali start the thing, and you get one of them out of the way.
That's,
you know, you get Khali out of the way. But
I
do
Big
like
Show, the guy nobody's going to stop.
I do like Christian coming in and taking out Santino. I almost like the idea of, because they've never done it before, is, and I think Santino with his comedy could have at least some good facial expressions, is the floor of the pod. Somehow they break through the floor of the pod and grab Santino down. And Santino, you can see him going, oh my goodness, oh no, as he's getting pulled down. And then Christian comes out and stands in the pod as opposed to attacking him in the aisle.
If there's a way to do that, that'd be cool.
I don't know if there's...
Or it could just be the little people who are grabbing him.
That's true. Hornswoggle could
be going to court. Santino's going to court.
Little people's court. But anyway, who do you think's going to win?
Who do I think is going to win, or who do I think should win?
Both.
Well, I mean, if you're doing that Christian idea, I do like the idea of him winning.
Right.
Otherwise, you're right. It should be Daniel Bryan. Who is he going to win? Without Orton in there, I would have said Orton was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy who I would have thought. So without Orton in there, I really think it fucks up the entire plans. I can't picture a Daniel Bryan-Sheamus one-on-one match for the championship. I think they're going to still get Orton back in there. Orton is a concussion. He'll be back, I'm sure, fairly soon because he's shown a history of doing that as soon as he can pass the impact test.
And it might be easier now without Russo.
Without Russo.
So.
High five. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That took an hour and 45 minutes,
yeah,
that joke, just to get warmed
just
up.
Just to get warmed up. Also, yesterday, Greg the Hammer Valentine's Day.
Good point.
Yeah,
good
that
point.
Was on WWE.com, actually. They called it Greg the Hammer Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, well, I think Daniel Bryan probably, I can't, like I say, now that I thought they were building up Bryan versus Show for Mania, was his, how the angles have played out, but now it looks like Show is turning heel, got the Shaq thing.
Right.
It's not going to be Cody, it's not going to be Barrett, it's not going to be Khali, it's not going to be
Santino.
Show now, it's not going to be Santino. That leaves Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, or like you said,
or surprise.
We can say the mystery person, we would choose Christian, and that would be a logical mystery person.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
So
that's,
unless,
that's
again, there's always the, they could do the flippy-flop stuff, too, because, I mean, when Edge, didn't Edge the second time, wasn't he on, or maybe even the first time, wasn't he on Raw, and he attacked Kofi in the SmackDown chamber, or vice versa,
something
crazy
so.
Kind of like that?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's...
there's nobody really on Raw who I could see coming in for that spot either, unless it's like, I just...
Unless it's like...
The Miz, you know? And then you get Miz versus Sheamus, you know, unless it's... He's the only guy...
See, Sheamus fucks up the idea to have Jericho do it and do unification.
Yeah.
But I think to me it's Bryan or the Mystery. I think we kind of we agree on that.
Yeah.
And we talked about the Raw chamber... Where it's, you know...
I think it's going to be Jericho.
Yeah, going to be Jericho.
I think the chase is what they're going to go for, and I don't think that's bad. But it is Jericho or Punk. It's not fucking. Again, you can throw out Truth. You can throw out Kofi. You can throw out
Dolph.
Dolph doesn't beat anybody.
No.
And you can throw out The Miz. Really, at this point. I mean, you can
again, it comes down
to Miz
those.
Is the one guy as a surprise or swerve they could go with.
Well, same with Dolph. I mean, it's not.
Nah, they go. Actually, he's been losing a lot, so they might. Go with
that's
him.
What I was thinking actually, but the. The two. Again, if you're going to extend the program, the other part of it, too, is that, you know, you're talking about baby faces and such. I mean, Rock and Cena is the main event of this show, of Mania,
yeah.
Right? So, you've got, I mean, they could think of it as a baby face match, so a baby face is going to win, right? Even though Cena's going to get booed out of the building. In which case, it doesn't really matter if Jericho beats Punk at Mania, right? Like, they've always been like, the baby faces have to win and you got to have that feel-good Mania moment, right? But The Rock and Cena
Edge and Jericho, that we thought Edge was going to win the title from Jericho a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it was, 2-3 years ago there, and Jericho held on to the title.
Right, right. But it wasn't, again, it was like
he was a heel,
fourth in the top or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, you could do that, too. You could have Jericho win, Jericho retain... And Punk, you know, if Punk is going to win it, you know, you could even do it for SummerSlam or something, right?
Do you
right?
think so. At this chamber they have to, I think, is it just going to be a video recapping Taker and Hunter, or are they going to do something to further the angle?
I don't think they'll do anything to further. They could. I mean, what is it? Is it 5-minute intervals on these pods?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so you got 5-minute interval on the pods, so that means four people because you start with two. So four people, so that's 20 minutes right there.
Yeah.
Plus entrances, you're looking at...
And I think the first interval actually is longer.
Okay. Well, you're looking
if
at
I remember correctly.
35, let's say 40 minutes for each match
let's
with the entrances,
minutes,
right?
Yeah.
So that's 80, so that's an hour and 20 minutes. You go an hour and 25 minutes when you tackle on the Divas match. Then you go...
including entrances.
Including entrances. They probably won't even get them. But... And then what did we say? The ambulance match, half an hour?
Including angles and
so
all
the
bullshit. Yeah, and then you got your 15, 20 minutes worth of backstage bullshit.
So I'll give 10 minutes for the Divas, and that'll go to an hour and a half. Then half an hour for the ambulance.
That's 2 hours.
We're at 2 hours, and that's everything announced. You
yeah,
know, and you said you got 15 minutes of bullshit.
15, there's always 15, 20 minutes. There's 15, 20 minutes of backstage bullshit. And then you're probably going to get, like, a tag title thrown in or something like that just to fill out the time.
Well, that would, yeah. You could. I mean, well, that was even at the Rumble. That was a thrown-in one, wasn't it?
There was two thrown-ins. There's the Brodius and the
Right, right,
Divas,
right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go, then. That's doable. And it sounds like, I mean, I haven't seen anything with Drew McIntyre in a couple of weeks either, right? So, I mean, they kind of dropped that. And so.
Didn't you see he was on TV on SmackDown? You didn't see him? He said, "Fire me. I'm already fired. Fire me. I'm already fired." Whoa.
He did. Huh. Did he pay his bar tab? Could you pay my bar tab? Huh.
So anyways,
yeah.
Ric Flair will be on our best of twice.
Will he?
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent. All right. Well, so that's the chamber. What about overall? How are you? 1 to 10, you said. What are you looking forward to it there?
Slightly higher than you, I think. 6.5.
Mm.
Because I don't know we can say it's going to be Daniel Bryan, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
And the action could be good. We don't know between Punk and Jericho. We don't know what's going on in that Tamina and Beth match, you know, that. Okay.
Pivotal contest.
We don't know what's going on with Cena. There's enough intrigue that I'm going, I think it's going to be, may not be great action, but I think it'll be a newsworthy show.
Right, okay.
We'll have no trouble talking about it afterwards.
Okay.
All right, let's get Vinny Roo on the line.
Okay.
All right, do you want to... I'll just call him.
Yeah, just give him a shout there. Just let him up. This is the first interview since his departure from TNA. And, you know, he's said he's...
I got him.
You got him okay? Hello, Miss Vinny Roo, you there?
Vinny Roo, you prick, how are you doing?
Oh, Mo, you son of a bitch, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, you cocksucker, Vinny Roo.
Me and Mo, we go way back, It is one.
Oh, I hate you, Vinny Rue. You know that, right?
You are my biggest fan. You are, have always been a tremendous supporter of myself dating back.
Oh, you suck, Dick.
To WCW. Mo.
What do you think of me, really?
I think you are a tremendous talent. I love the We Talk Wrestling podcast. I think that We Talk Comics is just a fabulous show.
You are the man. All right, let's talk a little bit. What happened to lead to you leaving?
Mo, if I can be honest with you, I think I can, since we have known each other for so long, that it really boils down, it was a mutual decision between myself and Dixie Carter to step back from the creative process, feeling that TNA needs to go to a whole nother level that I just do not have the time nor the energy, quite frankly, to get to at this point.
Now, of course, let's talk about your successes with TNA. What do you say about your successes while you're there?
When I started with TNA in 2001, we were doing a 0.1 rating.
You didn't have a TV show.
We did a 0.1 rating. I took that show and with the Crash TV formula, and really taking the young talent of TNA, putting them in the positions where they can succeed, we went to a 3.9 rating.
I don't think you ever got to a 3.9.
3.9 rating, Mo.
Really?
And now what I need to do is let Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, and Rob Conway step back.
Matt Conway.
What?
Matt Conway.
I thought he was a member of La Resistance. I would speak French to this man.
No, he was Matt Conway.
I wish he had told me sooner.
That's French.
That is a very French word, and I must say, I love the French people.
Oh, I know you do.
Now I understand that an Italian fellow, Dave Lasagna, is coming in.
Lasagna.
And he is going to take and try to fill the shoes of Vince Russo. I wish him nothing but the best.
Well, have you met him? Obviously, you worked with him this last little while. What do you say about him? I mean, that prick stole your job, right?
He is a very nice man. He was doing the Raika King promotion in Pakistan not too long ago. And he is just... I honestly can tell you, I need to be honest with you, I cannot say a bad word about anyone in TNA. My close personal friend is Jeff Jarrett. I've known Jeff Jarrett for 29 years.
Okay, well, Hogan, though, Hogan and Bischoff, even over this last little while, have been on interviews, like, slamming you, and they hate you. You must hate them.
Hulk Hogan is the greatest professional wrestler of all time. Nobody has drawn more money than Hulk Hogan. We had butted heads in the past. That is all behind us now. It is water under the bridge, and we are close as we have ever been.
Well, can't you be honest with me and tell me about Eric Bischoff?
Mo, I have to be honest with you that Eric Bischoff and I, it was my idea to bring in his son, Garrett.
What?
The first time I saw Garrett Bischoff going down in the referee's position to count 1, 2, 3, I said, this guy is a star.
He just has that.
He has that factor that you just cannot put your finger on it. He is a star.
Oh. Okay, well, you know, it seems like you like everybody.
Mo, I can just be honest with you, from Dixie Carter all the way down, Bob Carter, Janice Carter, the entire Carter family, you know, they have been nothing but the best to me, and it was a mutual decision to step away and relieve myself of my duties at TNA.
Yeah. Well, anybody else who you think has gotten a poor rap over the years who you think is really a nice guy?
You know, I have to say I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jim Cornette.
Oh, really?
Jim Cornette is one of the nicest men I have ever met.
Really?
His booking style is different, of course, than mine, and we clashed on a professional level. But personally, we have never been better. He sent me, Mo, a Valentine's Day card.
Yeah, did it say, fuck you, I hate you?
It said, and I will quote this card right now, it had a picture of Scooby-Doo on it, and it said, Vinny Roo. I love you. I get emotional just thinking about it, Mo.
I can hear that in your voice. Seems like you like everybody. I mean, I could throw out Osama bin Laden and you'd be like...
Osama bin Laden and I were going to work an angle in 2002. If WCW hadn't closed, most people don't know this, he was going to come in and lose to Hulk Hogan.
He was. But he was a terrorist. He killed a bunch of people.
I mean, that was going to be his gimmick. I think what you need to do is take the man's personality and just turn that dial up. And I got to know him, and I thought we should make some money. We would be on the cover again of USA Today.
Oh, yeah, you sound... I mean, I bet Hitler would have been a buddy of yours. You like everybody.
Hitler, with that mustache, would have been a tremendous heel. The reason was, he did not speak English. And if you are going to get over in this country, you need to speak English.
Yeah. All right, Vinny Roo, you know what? I think I've had enough of you. And tell you the truth, Vinny Roo, I have to go take a U.
I agree, Mo. I think we've got it. Okay, guys, if you are going to let me go, well, hang on the line here for a sec, Vince. We'll talk after the show. But just to sort of hammer out details, see what's going on. I will do that, but we're going to let you go. Okay, guys, thank you so much. I love We Talk Wrestling. I love this show. God bless you, and look for the return of Glory by Honor.
Oh, it's Ring of Honor, or Ring of Glory.
Ring of Glory.
You don't even know your own. Going to be show two?
It will be the second coming. All right, thanks so much, Vince. Thanks so much. Well, I think, are we off the air now? Yes, we're off the air. We're off the air. Oh, thank God. I don't know if I could do this any longer. Those fucking bastards in TNA. I hate Jeff Jarrett. I hate that cunt, Dixie Carter. You have been right all along, Adam. I must say, Addy, Dixie Carter is a cunt. And that bastard Hulk Hogan, with his bald spot, I believe he will have syphilis.
Could we see a Hulk Hogan chia pet?
We cannot see a Hulk Hogan chia pet because they will not sell one, as it will not work.
It will. The Hulk Hogan chia pet won't sell.
It will not sell for anyone. You have got that absolutely right, Mo.
Hey, Vinny Roo, can I tell you a little secret?
Huh?
Even though I really do need to go take a U.
What?
We're still on the air.
I love total nonstop action. Okay, we just cut him off there. That was fun. I don't know that he'll ever be on the show again now.
now that we've ambushed him like that. Yeah, he'll be back on. Really, where else has he got to go?
That's true. Right.
OUT, seriously, got
to
go.
Yes. Mo has to go. We're about to hit at 2 hours here. So I'm just going to say that in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.